All right. How many of you were here last week on Wednesday when Pastor was teaching? Amen. Raise your hand. That was an awesome word, wasn't it? Amen. And I don't know about you, but a lot of times when Pastor teaches on Wednesday and on Sundays, after that day is over with, I wait a couple of days and then I go back and go over the notes that he shared with us. You know, I reread them, I look up in the Bible and get the interpretation of them, and I just meditate on them because I'm looking for some kind of revelation. You know, because sometimes, you know, you can get so caught up in the service that, you know, you forget about it. So I always like to go back and sometimes I get the CD or I tape it myself and listen to it again over and over again until God reveals something to me. And this particular time, I was listening to it, and you know how something just pop in your head, like, bam, you just not hit it. You have read that scripture so many times, but then all of a sudden you get a big revelation all at once. And that's what happened to me last week with this particular message that he taught. So what I'd like to do tonight, if you don't mind, is kind of review the last few scriptures that he taught on, and then I'm going to go into what God gave me to deliver, because it all coincides with one another. Amen? And, you know, I had written out my message. I said, okay. And then when I heard that, I was like, I need that. So bear with me. You probably heard this, but we're just going to go over it right quick. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Colossians 1, 26 through 29 in the Passion Version. Amen? And this is Paul talking. He said, there is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations. Now, how many of you know, as a kid or the kids that you have, when you tell them that you have a surprise for them, they're all anxious. They want to know, well, what's the surprise? What is it, Mama? What is it, Daddy? You know? And so when I read that, I was like, okay, what is this surprise that he has kept from us? Amen. He says that has been concealed from the world for generations. So he's kept this secret from us for generations. And so I was like, okay, what is it? I couldn't wait to continue to read. So it says, but now it's been revealed. Oh, it's been revealed. So he's going to let us know what this big secret is. Amen. Unfolded and manifested for every holy believer to experience. So we're going to get to experience this secret that he has kept from us for generations. Now, how do you think you're going to know what this secret is? It's spending time in the Word. That's right. Amen? Yeah. Having a relationship with God. You got to have a relationship with God each and every day in order for you to be revealed this secret. Amen? And so I was like, oh man, I got to get on my P's and Q's here. I got to get closer to God. I talk to God every day when I'm on my way to work. But this opened my eyes like, okay, there's a secret there. I got to dig in the deep into this word to see what that secret is. Amen? Amen? Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. So we got an expectation of glory inside of us. So the only way we're going to know what that expectation is to get into the word. Amen? So we got to get in the word and have that relationship with God. Amen. Yeah. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. Amen. So it's a treasure chest. Yeah, the word is filled with treasures. Yeah. Amen. You threw me off, baby. That's all right. Go back to where it was. Did you jump? Oh, yeah. That's why I couldn't see. Treasure chest full of hope, filled with the riches of glory. How many people know that if I told you that there's a treasure chest over there in the children's area, sorry, Zakima, there's a treasure chest full of millions of dollars, full of gold and silver. How many of you would still be sitting here right now while I'm talking? Everybody would be gone. And that's the way we need to be about the word. Amen? We need to be so enthused about the word that we're in it all the time, amen? So we can figure out, so we can be revealed to us the treasure that is in there, amen, that he wants to reveal to us. And the only way he's going to reveal it to us is by us reading the word, amen? Yeah. Amen. And God wants all of us to know, amen? So if you're a born-again believer, you're going to want to know what that treasure is, right? Yeah. Amen. Christ is our message. We preach to awaken hearts and bring every person into the full understanding of the truth. So we preach so that everyone would know the full understanding of the truth. You won't want to know the truth, right? You want to know what he's been keeping from us from generation to generation, right? So why not wouldn't you want to get into the word so it can be revealed to you. So you know the truth. And the truth will set you free, right? Amen. It has become my inspiration. This is Paul talking. And passion in ministry to labor with a tireless intensity with his power flowing through me to present to every believer the revelation of being his perfect one in Jesus Christ. How many people want to be the perfect one in Jesus Christ? Amen. Paul says he wants to reveal it to you in his word. Everyone should be looking to get that revelation in the word by getting into the word. Amen. Amen. Let's go on to Colossians 2. Verse 3 is, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him. So we need to be in Christ. Because Christ is in us. Amen. Yeah. Go back to, don't change it yet. Okay. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We want to gain wisdom, right? We want to have wisdom so we can make wise decisions. Ain't that right, Jack? Amen. And so we have the knowledge that he has. He wants to impart it into us. So the only way he can impart it into us is if we study this word. Amen. And have that relationship with him. Right, Pastor Joe? Amen. Go ahead. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. So we must continue to follow him. Just because we got born again yesterday, that doesn't mean we stop praying in the spirit. That doesn't mean we stop reading his word. We got to continue in him every day. Amen. It's an everyday relationship, as my wife said. Amen. If you're married and you didn't talk to your wife for, you talked to her today and then you ain't talked to her in a couple weeks, you ain't going to have no kind of relationship with her, are you? And so that's the way God wants to do. He wants to have a relationship with you, so he wants you to talk to him and read his word every day. Amen. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Stop right there. Just like a tree. If a tree is sitting on top of the ground and you push it and it falls down, it's not rooted in the ground. So God wants us to be rooted in the ground in his word, amen? So we need to study his word on a daily basis so we can be rooted in the ground, so we can understand and get the revelation that he wants to give us, amen? Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Go back. Don't change it. Hold on. I'm sorry. It's just in me right now, amen? And I want to explain each and every verse there, okay? So your faith will continue to grow and get stronger as you read the word, amen? And as he reveals stuff to you, amen? And then you'll be thanking God each and every day for what he has revealed to you, amen? You'll be praising God every day for how he's changed you, how he's brought you a long way, amen? Many of us have come from a long way. I ain't talking about distance-wise. I'm talking about from where we used to be, how we used to be, amen? Right. Amen? And so we'll be thanking him for what he has done in our lives, amen? Right. Because it's all because of his glory that we are where we are today, amen? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. So you don't want to, you know, if you're in your word, you're not going to listen to everybody's philosophy, right? You're not going to listen to everybody. No, it's not going to be easy for somebody to come to you and tell you about their religion and you change over to their religion, amen? Because you're rooted in the ground in the word. You're spending that time with God, amen? Amen. Amen. And they will try to trick you, right? Like Daniel said, they try to trick you in all kinds of ways, amen? Go ahead. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Go ahead. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head of over every ruler and authority. Stop right there. God is the head of everything. Every ruler and authority. He's over our president. I ain't gonna mention who he is. He's over every country out there, amen? So why are we listening to these people? First, listen to what God has to say. Amen. God is our authority. That's the one we should be worshiping and praising. Amen. We should be worshiping any other gods but him. Amen. Some of us worship our cars. Some of us worship our houses. Some of us worship every other thing. God is a jealous God. He wants you to worship him. Amen. And that's the only way you're going to know how to worship him is if you get into this word. Amen. And have that relationship with him. Amen. When you came to Christ, Let me slow down because I'm getting excited here. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. So when you got born again, God cut away all your sinful nature. So you should be a new creation, right? So what comes with a new creation? You shouldn't be doing the things that you used to do. It should be a change. There you go. There should be a change in your life. Amen? Go ahead. For you were buried when Christ, when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. So when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you got baptized in water, there should have been a change in your life. All that sinful nature should be gone. But so many times we get baptized, think that that's all we need to do, and we forget about the word. We quit studying the word. We're on fire for the word, on fire for God when we first get baptized in the Holy Spirit, get baptized in water, and when we get saved, we're on fire. We're ready to preach to everybody we come in contact with. And then one little thing stops us, and then we go, well, I guess it didn't work. Then we go back to what I was doing before. Stay in the word. Stay encouraged. Continue to have that relationship with God. Amen. Go ahead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your sins. Who else can forgive all of your sins but God? So all your sins are gone. Not just when you got born again, but your present sins are gone and your future sins are gone. And your past was gone. Amen? And he sent his son to do all of that for us. He laid his life on the cross for all of our sins. So why can't we thank him and praise him every day for what he's done for us? Because, you know, when I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, it makes me want to dance. As the song says, dance, dance all night long. Amen? And so we should be celebrating each and every day when we get up in the morning. Because what God has done for us, amen? Yeah. That you're alive and here. You're able to come to church on a Wednesday night. You're able to come to church on a Sunday. You're able to go to work each and every day. And some people who went to bed last night didn't come up this morning, amen? Yeah. And so we need to be thanking God each and every day of our lives, amen? He canceled the record of the charges against us. Oh, my goodness. Who can cancel all the charges against us, y'all? Can't nobody do that. And took away it by nailing his son to the cross. He took all the charges against us. Not just the ones we got right now. He knew we were going to do something in the future. He got rid of all of those. Amen. Who else could do that? I know if I do something wrong to my wife, she ain't going to let me forget it. I'm just playing. You're right there, babe. I'm trying to give an example. Amen. But God has forgotten all the things. He has gotten rid of, canceled all the charges against us. Amen? Amen. Aren't y'all glad about it? Aren't y'all glad about it? Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go on. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Go on to the next one. What is it, Galatians 2 and 20? Or is there another? Okay. And when Christ, go ahead. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Stop right there. So Christ is living in me. Amen? And you should, like Pastor said on Wednesday, I think he said it on Sunday too, you should be able to see Christ in me each and every day. Not just when you walk in here on Wednesday, not when you walk in here on Sunday, but when you're down the street, you're driving and somebody cuts you off, somebody's beeping on you behind you like they did to me coming here tonight. Amen? They were in a hurry to get on the highway. They beep, beep, beep. I'm like, what are you doing? And then I said, oh, I'm teaching that about that tonight. I'm a work in progress. Amen. We all are a work in progress. Amen. That's why we have to stay in the word. Because the enemy knows we're trying to do good, and he don't like that. Amen. The enemy try to come in between your marriage. He's going to tell your wife something about something that you did, and you didn't even do it. Or your husband, something that you did and you didn't even do it. Amen? So that's why you got to stay in the word. You got to study. You got to spend time with God. Amen? So I live in this earthly body, by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. God loves you. Do you know that? He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. So you got to love yourself because Christ is in you. So you need to love yourself because Christ loves you. So you need to love yourself. Amen? Amen? Go ahead. Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. And all these are in the New Living Translation. Amen? And then I'm just still reviewing, y'all. Amen? All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. When you are united with Christ, he's going to give you all the spiritual blessings. All the spiritual blessings. He's not talking about a car, a house, or anything else. Spiritual blessings are something that's never going to go away. We can lose a car. We can lose a house. And I've done both. Amen? But the spiritual blessing stays with you. Amen? As long as you stay in this word, as long as you trust him, amen, and have that relationship with him, amen? Amen. Go ahead. Even before he made the world, think about this, as I said, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God chose us, amen? He chose us to put us in the world. Many of us think it was the passion of our parents that got us in this world. No, God chose us. He decided, okay, Bobby E. Chavis Jr. will be born on this day, June 25th, to Bobby and Shirley Chavis. Because I know on October the 23rd, he will be preaching at Destiny Christian Center, and he's going to be delivering my word. He knew that before I even did it. Amen? Yeah, he chose me. Amen? I didn't choose myself. My wife did, yeah, she chose me because I was after her. But anyway, that's another story. Amen. She could have anybody else she wanted, but she chose me. Thank the Lord. Thank you, baby. You chose me. Yeah. You know the feeling, Jack? She said, she told me, Jack, one time, she said, yeah, I felt sorry for you, man. Yeah, because I was real thin. I had a broken tooth in the front. I had a big old afro. She said, this man needs some nourishment. Yeah, so I'm a cook for him. I'm joking. I'm joking, but amen. Go ahead. No, dear, no. God decided to advance, to adopt us into his holy family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Hold it right there. God decided to adopt us into his family. Ain't that something to be thankful for? Yes. We're in his family. We could have been in any other family, but he chose us to be in his family, amen? He adopted us into his family. This is what he wanted to do. Ain't nobody coerced him to do it. He wanted to do this, amen? And he gave, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, when you have a child and you it's born of a child, or even if you adopt a child, it gives you great pleasure to have that child, doesn't it? So it's the same thing with God. He is thankful, and he adores you, and it showed him great pleasure to adopt us into his family. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you'd like to give God a praise. Amen? Amen. So we praise God. What a thing. I knew it was coming right there. So we praise God. Y'all just praise him for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. So we praise God. Amen. He is so rich in kindness. I want y'all to listen to that. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Amen. How many of you would give up your son for all these people? Not me. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like Dana said, not me. Amen. But he gave up his own son for all of us. And we can't come to church on Sunday. We can't get up and praise him and thank him. Yeah. We need to be thanking him every day, amen? Yeah. Amen. Go ahead. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. So he's given all of that to us in his word, amen? And we won't even take the time to read his word to get it. Think about that. We don't take the time to read his word when he wants to shower us with all his kindness, all his wisdom, and understanding. Amen? God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ and plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. So he's sharing with us, he's revealing to us his great plan. Amen? And to fulfill his own good pleasure. That's how he pleases himself, by giving it to us. Amen? Amen. So we need to be thanking God for that. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, because we're born again, Christ is in us, we're in Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Stop right there. How many of you want that inheritance from God? Amen. We think about the inheritance from our family members and all that. I'd rather have the inheritance from God than anything else. Amen. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So that's something to shout about, y'all. We're going to get an inheritance from God because we're born again believers. Amen. Amen. You thought when you got born again that that's all it was. No, we're going to receive an inheritance from God as long as we stay in this word and have that relationship with him. Amen. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. Amen. Amen. So we need to give praise and glory to God. Amen. Amen. For that inheritance. If you were to inherit $1 million, you'd be giving praise and glory to God, wouldn't you? So why not give praise and glory to God for the inheritance he's going to give us? Amen. Amen. That spiritual blessing. That's right, babe. Go ahead. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love for God's people everywhere. So we have to have strong faith in order for him to give us that inheritance, right? I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So he's going to give us spiritual insight and knowledge by reading that word. He's revealing it to us. Amen. So we might know the knowledge of God. But we can't know the knowledge of God if we don't study God's word, if we don't spend time with him. Amen. I don't know my wife until I spend time with her. And then I have that knowledge of how she works, how she, you know, I spent hours on top of hours of dating her. She wouldn't even let me come to her house for a year. Amen. Just to try to get to know her over the phone. Pastor, I know why you do that to me. She wanted to see what I was all about. That's what it was. I had to sneak over there. I had to find out from somebody else where she lived at. Okay. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Amen. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. Okay, we went too far. Let's go back to verse 15. I just kind of skipped over it. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere. Okay, I said that, right? Okay, let's go to chapter 2. That's what I was missing. Chapter 2, verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his great grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So he can point to future generations on what he has done with us. Amen. So they will see how good he is, amen? And that it's so important to spend time with him, to have that relationship with him, amen? Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. That's Paul's prayer, is that the future generations would know, because we share with our children and our children's children, amen? Amen. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life So we got to believe that we have died to our old life and we got a new life in him, right? So when you're born again, you got a new life, and we need to continue with that new life. We don't want to go back to the old life. Amen. How many people want to go back to the old life? Amen. I was hoping that's what I would have. How many want to continue on in your new life? Amen. Amen. All right. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life would no longer live for themselves. Instead, they live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we got to live for Christ. We don't want to live in the old way. Because when I got born again, you know, there was something new about me. Amen. But sometimes, you know, it's a struggle still. It was then. It's not now. But that's why you need to know more about studying the word. You know, and if you're not in the right church when you get born again, it's good to be in the right church that's teaching the Bible, that encourages to read the word. Amen. And that's what Pastor does here. He encourages us to read the word. He encourages us to spend time with God. Amen. So if you get born again and then you lost, you need to find somewhere where you can get the word. Amen. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And at one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How different we know him now. Because why? We know him differently now. Because we're in the word, right? We're studying his word. We're hearing his word. Amen. And we have that personal relationship with him. So we have stopped. Okay, go ahead. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. 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 Now, that's the end of my review. Amen. And see, this will lead right into what I wanted to talk about, because I know myself, I used to deal with this on a regular basis, but I know what I used to be like, and I know how I am now. And so this really popped in my spirit, because I'm a new creation. The old life is gone. But anything that tries to come back into this new life, I need to check it. Amen. I need to make sure that, no, that old life is gone. So that anger that I used to have needs to be gone. Amen. Yeah, right. That drinking I used to do has to be gone, right? Yeah,
that's right.
If you're smoking, that smoking you used to do has to be gone. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And it says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lies will speak to them without any words. They will be won over. Amen. So how I used to treat my wife when I get born again should be different in my new way of life, right? And the title of my message, I never did go back and say that, is Loving Difficult People. I want to show you tonight how to love difficult people. We have run into difficult people in our lives, right? How many people have not? How many people have had some difficult people in their lives? Amen? Raise your hand. We all have. If you live and you're going to run across somebody difficult in your life, it could be a family member. It could be somebody at work. It could be a coworker. It could be a boss. It could be anybody, somebody in school with you. It could be any of those people. Amen? So this is just, you know, wise. Don't be difficult to your husband. Accept the fact that he's a okay, Jack. I'm gonna get to a snatch, Jack. Don't get it twisted. I don't want the wives to be mad at me. Accept the authority of your husbands. Because God, it says in his word that he put us as authority over our wives and our family. Not to run over them, but he has to have somebody to be in authority. Amen. Amen. Go to verse 7. In the same way, you husbands, Jack, must give honor to your wives. Amen? See, Jack was saying something, so I had to correct him. I missed it. Yeah, find anybody. It's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, in a little living transition. Transition. Amen? Whatever. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner, God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, but your prayers will not be hindered. Amen. So if your husband is a difficult person, if your wife is a difficult person, read God's word. And what did he say? Treat each other with honor and respect. Amen. And you'll have a long-lasting marriage. Amen. Amen. So now this comes to the church and everybody else. The church. Finally, all of you should be one mind. Of one mind. Thank you, babe. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brother and sisters in Christ. Be tenderhearted and keep a humble attitude. Amen. So when you come across people, whether it's in church or anywhere else, you're supposed to love each and every one of them. Now, the old me, if Jack did something to me, let me go to the next scripture before I say it. Verse 9. Don't repay evil for evil. So if Jack did something to me, I'm going to do something back to him. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. You insult me, Jack? We're going to do the dozens. We're going to do it. Amen? That's the way I used to be. You know? And sometimes I go back to my old self and I have to catch myself. I said, but, you know, people know where you go to church at. Now, don't. You don't want Pastor Stokes to hear about you. You know, and that was a long time ago, y'all. That was a long time ago. I'm going to have to, y'all might think I do it yesterday or something. No, that was a long time ago. I mean, I would be at my son's games and get mad at, calm down over there. Referee make a bad call. Oh, I was hot. I was yelling, screaming, saying every other word but the child of God. No. But so I had to realize, and I was born again, so I had to realize that the old me has to go away. And the new me has to come out. And that takes work. Each and every day, you have to work on that. Amen? And the only way you're going to work on that is spend time with God and study his word. Amen? To get that reminder. Amen? So when you get ready to say something, you're like, like tonight, when that guy was blowing on his horn, I wanted to chase after him and go, how you doing? But I remember what I was preaching about tonight, so I said, no, I can't do that. I'm a new creation. Amen? Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back. Oh, man. Pay them back with what? I said, God, no, this got to be wrong in the scripture. Did I get the right version, Pastor Joe? Did I get the right? Does that say blessing? Blessing. Pay them back with a blessing. How hard is that? To pay them back with a blessing. Uh-oh, I hear a witness over here. Is it hard, Donna? To pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And all of y'all to do. And me included. It's to pay him back with a blessing. And he will grant you what? A blessing. Now, don't just do it because you want a blessing from God now. Amen. But that's what we're called to do, to bless other people who are difficult in our lives. Amen. Y'all just don't know how hard that was for me. It's never easy. That's right. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life, oh, here we go. Y'all tighten your seatbelts because you ain't going to like this. But the scripture, I'm just reading right out of the Bible, y'all. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Leave it right there because I'm going to say it again. Keep your tongue from speaking evil. You don't want to talk about other people. You don't want to speak evil over the other people. Amen? You don't want to tell lies on people, spread lies about people. Amen? You don't want to do that. And this is the reason why. Next scripture. The next one. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. So you got to search for peace. So that you won't return evil with evil, amen? So you won't return insults with other insults, amen? Remember, you want to bless your enemies. My wife taught me that a long time ago. Because she was in the Word. I wasn't. And she said, Bob, just bless them. Bless what? I ain't going to bless nobody. I pray that they, I'm sorry, that's just the way I was. But I'm a new creation. Yes. Amen. And we all are new creations. So we need to act like it. If you're going to be a disciple, as pastor's been talking about discipleship, if you're going to be a disciple, you got to be in this word. And you can't repay evil with evil. You can't retaliate against people. Amen. And when you bless people, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. So if you do right, God is watching over you. He's going to protect you. He's going to bless you. And his ears are open to the prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Stop right there. So God's eyes are watching over us to see if we're doing good so he can get the glory. His ears are open to hear our prayers. So if your prayers are not being answered, you got to check yourself. Amen. Am I being too hard on people? I'm just trying to give you what God gave me, because he's trying to correct me. Amen. And he might be trying to correct you as well. Because if he's listening, he's watching over us, and he got his ears open to our prayers. But if he see that we're not doing good and we ask for prayers, that's what he's going to do. But the Lord will turn his face against those who do evil. So if you're doing evil, God ain't even looking at you. He's not watching over you. Amen. And I want God watching over me. Because if I'm going down a highway and fall asleep at the wheel like I've done before, God was watching over me, because I'm here today talking to you. Amen. And he woke me up just in time before I hit that barrier. So I know how good God is. And that's why I strive to do good. Amen. I don't do good to get good. I do good because that's what God expects of me. And I know he's watching over me. Amen. And he's protecting me from all the evils of this world. Amen. And he's blessing me. He blessed me with an awesome wife. Amen. I thank God every day for my wife, because he has blessed me. Every time I wake up and see her over there snoring, I thank God for her. Amen. All right, thank God I have a wife that snores. Thank you, Lord. I could be laying here by myself with nobody snoring beside me. But I thank God every day that she's over there. And when she's snoring, I know she's alive and well. Amen. We try to beat each other to sleep because we know the other one's going to snore and wake up. Amen. Amen. God is so good, y'all. God is so good. Now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? Amen. Where am I at? Verse 15. No, I want to skip 14. 15. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. People are going to want to know why you're praying for them. Amen. Let me go back and ask you this question. Have you ever prayed for someone's demise or for them to be better? How many ever prayed for somebody that something happened bad to them? Come on, be honest. Am I the only one? In my old day, that's what I would do. Back in the day, I know y'all all saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, fire baptized. You're not doing that now. Back in the old days, before you got saved, before you became a new creation, you know, somebody bumped the horn and passed you on the highway, you'd be like, I hope the cops catch you. I just be looking forward to seeing the cops them pull them over, because they trying to be so fast. That's a good one. Amen. That's the cleanest one I could think of that day. I'm like, Lord, just get them. Let a cop stop them. They in such a hurry. As I think about the scripture, my wife always say, don't be anxious to go down the highway. You ain't going nowhere. I see it all the time when I'm going to work. Somebody passing me, nyow, nyow, and they're going to the same place I'm going. And as soon as I see them at work, I say, why you pass me going 90 miles an hour? You can't clock in at 7 o'clock. Amen. Amen. Whew. Let's see, where am I at? Verse 16. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Amen. So people might lie on you. They might tell stories about you, whatever the case may be. But if you're living for God and you got Christ in your life, no matter what they say, they could go, like Pastor said, he says it all the time. Nobody can tell him nothing about Pastor Shanae because he knows Pastor Shanae. And he knows she won't do the things that people might say about her. Amen? So it's the same thing with you. If you live the Christ-like life, no matter what people say about you, if they want to lie, steal, and cheat and tell stories about you, the people that know you the best would know, that ain't Pastor Bob. If somebody came to you, Ray, and said, you know what? I think Pastor Bob cheating on his wife. It ain't going to happen. I spent too many hours on this woman right here. I ain't got time to be doing that kind of mess. And I ain't going to put myself in that kind of predicament. For anybody to ever think that I would cheat on my wife, they got to be out of their mind. Because it's cheaper to keep her. I'm telling you that right now. Amen. Amen. 36 years is a long time. Since we were 20 years old. And I always tell her, you know, early on in our marriage, she said, would you leave me? I said, girl, please. It's too hard to try to get somebody else. And mold her and everything. You're just getting right now. No, I'm just joking. But one thing I did tell her when we were dating, I said, if anybody ever come to you and say, Bob is doing something, because we went to different high schools, and I said, if anybody come and say, Bob is doing this or doing that, you call me and ask me, because I will tell you the truth. And that's why I used to tell my kids, I said, you can date anybody you want to, but if you don't like her no more, just tell her. Don't try to ease on down the road and don't tell nobody. Amen? Just be honest with people. Don't lie to people. Don't lie about people. Have that, you know, you want to get away from difficult people, treat them with respect. Love on them. Because, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I ain't going to go there. Okay, let's see here. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. Amen? Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to live in the spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. So if people want to know why you are different, that particular scripture is the reason. Because God suffered for our sins. Amen? I remember when I was in Germany and working with Germans, the German Army and Air Force and the regular U.S. Army, you know, there's a lot of words being said that I don't talk like, or I don't speak, meaning cursing and doing all that kind of stuff. And so this is I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was in Germany. So I became a new person when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the things I used to do, where I would cuss you out in a heartbeat, I didn't cuss no more. And so I had somebody say something to me about it. They said, something's different about you. And I knew what it was. People will see the difference in you when you're born again. Right. If you're living a life that God wants you to live. Right. Amen. And if you study in the Word, if you're in the Word all the time, and if you are having that relationship with Him, people should see the change in you. Yes. That's the ultimate, the ultimate compliment. That's it. Compliment for somebody to say something different about you. Yeah. Amen. Because they can see Christ in you. Amen. And when they see Christ in you, that's all God wants. And that's His glory. His glory is to see all of us living the life that He has called us to do. Living Christ-like. Amen. Amen. Now, there's three things to do before you encounter a difficult person. Y'all ready? First of all, pray persistently. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 18. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. If you stand, if you prayed up all the time, then that will solve all your problems, amen? So when you're on your way to work, like I do every day, and everybody else goes to work, I'm praying constantly because I know what's ahead of me at work. Amen. There's going to be some difficult people, and you want to know how to deal with them when you get there. You know, studies have shown that if someone hates you or don't like you, it's for one of three reasons. They see you as a threat. They see you as a threat. So if it's somebody on your job and they have a higher paying job than you do, or they have a job, and they see you loving everybody, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and all that stuff, they might not like you because you're all chipper. You know, prime example, one of my many jobs I've had, if you've been here long enough, you know I've had 18 jobs before I got the one I got now, because my wife loves to tell that story. So when I got out of the military, you know, I had 18 jobs, but trying to find that right one. Thank God for destiny. I was able to find my destiny. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. And I was at, matter of fact, it's so funny because it's homecoming week, and I was working at A&T at the time. Now, the job I had, I was a social director for the student union, and my director was an interim director, and I was interim. But his goal was, first of all, when I got hired, he called one of my references and asked the person, well, how is Bob, you know, as far as speaking with people, talking to people? Because when I met him and I went through the interview process, he didn't think I would be able to do the job because it takes a lot of speaking to the different people on campus that come there to rent the ballroom, rent all these other things. And so my reference, who lives in Atlanta, Georgia now, he said, oh, Bob's great. He, you know, once he gets to know you, da-da-da-da-da. So he told me what he said, and I said, okay, so I'm going to have to try extra hard because normally I'm an introvert. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. But I had to get to know you before I talk to you. But the grace of God that I'm even up here talking to you now, because God has allowed me to show you some gifts that I have to you by talking in front of you. So now I love to do it. And I try to get the word into my wife sometime, but, you know, how many of you know women have to have at least 5,000 words before we get a chance to speak? So that's why I'm talking all the time right now. But anyway, going back to the job. And so I love the job. I love dealing with the students. So I put myself out there. I was everywhere, you know, especially this time of year when it's homecoming, you're busy and doing all that kind of stuff. And so it got to the point where my boss, the director, he was busy taking classes, okay? So he was buried in his office all the time. So everybody who came into the student union dealt with me, amen? And so one particular day, somebody called and said, can I speak to the director, Bobby Chavis? Oh, and he hit the fan because he answered the phone. So his job was up to be interviewed for, and he come make a beeline for me and said, you trying to get my job? You trying to get my job? I said, heck no. I didn't say heck, but I said, no. Close enough. I said, no, I'm still trying to train. I said, no. I said, I love my job. I love what I do. He blackballed me from then on. He hated my guts. He would put little notes in my box, like, you look like a deer with headlights. You know, looking like, why are you always coming to my office asking questions? I said, well, you know, I'm being respectful as the boss. If I'm going to make a decision, I want to make sure it's all right with you that I made this decision. He didn't want me coming in there, all that kind of stuff. It was this complete hatred. Amen? Because he thought one thing about A&T, my father went there, my mother went there, and his parents went there. I went there. So I had a lot of favor everywhere I went. It wasn't about the grace of God that I had favor because I knew a lot of people on campus. So I could drive anywhere on campus and park my car and without a parking sticker, which you need, because I was a temporary employee, and it cost too much money to buy one. So, And I had favors, so everywhere I went, I could park in any parking spot, and the cops wouldn't get me. And one of the cops used to go to church here, Pam Allen. So she knew me. So she said, "Oh, go ahead. That's Bob Chavis' son." I said, "Yeah, that's me." Amen. So I didn't get in trouble. And he didn't like that. He said, "How can you park there? And as soon as I park the same spot, I get a ticket." It's called favor, my man. So he didn't like that. And he proved that to me on one occasion when his office was like right here. And my office was right there, right beside his. He can walk out and come right in there. And one day, and our secretary was like, "Where Jack and Dana's are." And he said, "Bob, I need you to move upstairs." The other assistant director was in the same area that we were. All three of us was there. Why he moved me? You know, it took me a while to realize that he just didn't like me. That's what it was. So he found a threat. He thought I was a threat to him. So that's why some people don't like you, because they think that you're a threat. Amen? They hate themselves. Some people don't like the fact of how they grew up or where they came from, and they think that you might have came in a better place than they did, so they hate themselves because they, you know, they're like, I'm never going to be no good or whatever. So they want to take it out on everybody else. So that's why they're difficult, amen? And the third one under that is they want to be you. They wish they could do the things that you could do, have that favor on campus like I had. They're not going to say it, but that's what they wish, amen? So that's why you have to pray consistently, persistently, every time you go to work, every time you meet up with these people. It's the same thing when you go to, how many people are looking forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas? But you're going to have some difficult people when you go eat, right? So are you looking forward to see them people, family members? I know I ain't, but yeah, I might be the difficult one. That's right, you're right. There might be something to that there, Dana. And that's why, and you're right, you might be the difficult person. So you got to look at yourself, and if you're a born again Christian, you got to change. You got to be welcoming to the people. You got to love on these people. Amen. And show that you are different. Especially if they know that you're a pastor, you go to church or whatever, and they don't. You know, and they as soon as you act up, "See, I thought you were a Christian." That's the very first thing people say. And I used to tell them, like, especially when I was in Germany and California, you know, Jesus got mad too. He knocked over the witchman college and all that. In the synagogue, he knocked it over, so he said, "You can get mad, but don't sin, right?" So I'm not sinning by getting mad at you. But, you know, I had to change that way. Amen? Amen. Number two thing to do before you see a difficult person, respond lovely. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So when they ask you a question, don't return the answer with anger. You know, you can say things like, "That's interesting. Tell me more." "I'm learning, babe. I'm learning." Or you might say, "That's interesting. Why would you say that?" Especially when they're talking junk to you. You know, why would you say that? Or why would you ask that question? And then you might say this: "I want to hear everything you have to say, but just not in that manner." "I want to hear everything you got to say. Just tone it down a little bit." These responses have the potential to deflate the negative emotion in the room and draws attention to the unkindness, but in a respectful manner. Amen. Number three, compliment courageously. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. So you want to encourage people. When you get ready to come across a difficult person, encourage them. Ask them, you know, something that they did, and encourage them. Say, "Oh, really? Are you still, you know, thinking about opening up your business? That's good. I know you can do it." Encourage them. Right. Amen? You want to encourage people. Find out something else about it and appreciate and give them appreciation. Amen? Sometimes people are difficult because they do not feel appreciated or valued. When they feel appreciated, oftentimes they release whatever anger they are holding on to. This is what the Bible promises us. We will inherit a blessing when we love the unlovely. Amen? That blessing may be a renewed or repaired relationship. If it's a close friend that you kind of split apart, or a family member, and you treat them with respect, you love on them, you might be able to mend that relationship or renew that relationship. Somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, you might be able to renew that. The blessing may be, okay, go ahead, the next one. The blessing may be the opportunity to disciple somebody. You know, we all are, we want to, you know, take this class, discipleship class, we want to be able to disciple people. But before you can disciple somebody, you got to win their soul. There might be an unsaved person. And if you come at them in a bad way, you're not going to win them. Because they're going to say, are all God's people like this? We might be the only person that this person sees. And they say, but they think to themselves, because I used to think that way before I got saved. I'm like, are they a Christian? Really? I saw them at the club with me. No. Amen. Amen. The blessing may be the power of God working through us in a difficult situation. In a difficult situation, we might be going through something, and because of how we have responded to these people, we see God operate where we can get out of that difficult situation into a great situation. Amen. Just like when I was riding down the highway and almost wrecked in the car, God saved me because of how I respond to people. I'm trying to do good. Amen. There will always be a blessing when we choose to love the unlovely. The next one. Imagine this world if every Christian decided to love the unlovely. Wouldn't we have a better world? Vanessa, just imagine, we are never more like Christ than when we love the unlovely. Amen? Amen. Did y'all get a word today? Amen. I pray that this word will resonate in you. If you're the difficult one, love people. If you run into difficult people, I hope you have heard what I said, what God gave me, because I'm a work in progress, just like everybody else. And when we're born again, we want to be Christ-like so we can get the inheritance that God has for us. Amen.